With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
Welcome back. That was The Dreadful Tick of Time, an original composition by myself. Written October of either 2011 or 2012. I cannot remember, but it's one of the pieces that I've been inspired to write by through watching several horror films and really sort of digging into the atmosphere of horror and really starting to appreciate deeper some of what horror is capable of and as an art form. And The Shining is a big part of that, the Kubrick film, which I mentioned in the last section. And with that, we will go ahead and discuss my favorite all-time horror films. And it's a pretty diverse list. We'll just go random. We'll actually just go in order of when they were watched this month. Sometimes the order changes. Sometimes it just depends on the amount of time I have to watch some of them. The first one I watched this month is usually the one that I first watch every October as far as my top 10. And it's actually my second favorite horror movie of all time. It's Jacques Tourneur's Cat People from 1940s, produced by Val Lewton, part of that great series of supernatural thrillers. And it's a film that I wouldn't have necessarily heard from about otherwise, except for Martin Scorsese's amazing documentary on a personal journey with Martin Scorsese through American movies. It's one of the more important films he talks about in that film, in that documentary. And it's something that the sensuality, the disquieting atmosphere of behind the film is something that has resonated with me a lot over the years. And it's something that continues to draw me in, and it's something that holds me throughout all of the 72 minutes of that film. And it really has become my second favorite horror film. It leapfrogged my previous number two, which I'll get to a bit later. But it's honestly, anything in that top five from two to five is basically on the same level. So next, the next top 10 movie I watched this year for my horror was the F.W. Murnau classic, silent classic Nosferatu, which I would say is probably my sixth favorite horror movie, I believe. Doesn't quite get into the top 10. Or no, it actually would be my fifth favorite horror film. It's definitely my top five. And it's just a beautiful movie to watch. It's just really a wonderful film to watch and really enjoyable to experience what Murnau was able to create. And silent horror is always some of the best horror, and it really is. And it's Nosferatu, though, stands out as singularly unique, especially in its depiction of the Dracula story. It's unauthorized depiction of the Dracula story, but it's arguably the best. Next up is Horror of Dracula, another Dracula adaptation. This is the first one from Hammer Films from the 1950s. It's Terence Fisher's film with the great Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing. And it's a very different movie in terms of tone, in terms of style as Nosferatu. It's in basically a complete 180 from that film, but it's equally compelling as an adaptation of the Dracula story, of Bram Stoker's Dracula. And Christopher Lee does a fantastic job as this more theatrical embodiment of Dracula, and Peter Cushing is just wonderful as Professor Van Helsing. And it's always fun to watch those two sort of back to back when I'm doing my top 10 because of the fact that, and that one is probably number 6 on my list, two Dracula movies back to back, because I love the theatricality of the Hammer production. It's just wonderful. Next is my number 10 choice, and it's actually two films. It is the original Friday 13th from 1980 and Friday 13th Part 2 from 1981. The reason these two are together is because I feel like they complement one another, and they're the ones that... It's basically one long movie setting up the remainder of the Friday 13th franchise. Because in the original, spoiler alert, it is not Jason, but his mother doing the killing as revenge for her son drowning at the negligence of camp counselors. But in part two is when we first start to see Jason killing. But he does not have his famous hockey mask yet. So that is why those two movies are put together in my top 10. I always watch them back to back just because that's how I look at them. And it's funny because of the fact that when the remake came out in 2009, it felt like basically a combination of the first and second one. The first film basically is condensed to like the first 10 minutes, and then the rest of the film is the start of Jason's reign of terror. So that would be my number 10 choice. Next up is number 7, and it is another slasher film. It's the original slasher film in Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. There's not much more I can say other than the fact that it's just an absolutely astounding movie. It's perfect in pretty much every way. Anthony Perkins, Janet Leigh, everybody in the film is just wonderful. There was nobody like Hitchcock, and he just did superlative work on what is basically a B movie, but bringing the level of artistry he would bring to a Rear Window or North by Northwest. So number 7 is Psycho. Number 8 is James Wan's The Conjuring. And I have seen The Conjuring 2, and I really do enjoy Conjuring 2, but I kind of have to put The Conjuring by itself. Just because that film, it's probably my favorite possession thriller, possession drama of all time, other than probably The Exorcist, and it's one that I feel is, along with The Exorcist, it's sort of in a class by itself. The Conjuring 2 is very much a horror sequel, albeit a very good horror sequel. You could debate whether that or The Ring, The Witch are the best horror features this year. I'm not quite sure. Both of them are pretty good, though. So The Conjuring is number 8 on my list. Number 4 is Roger Corman's Mask of the Red Death, which we, like the Hammer horror of Dracula, is very theatrical, and it's very broad and theatrical, and is horror in a traditional gothic mode of thinking. And Roger Corman just does a beautiful job bringing the Edgar Allan Poe story to life, along with Vincent Price as Prince Prospero, who is the one hosting the mask of the title as the Red Death is sweeping through Europe. So number 4 for me is The Mask of the Red Death. Number 9 is The Ring, the 2002 Gore Verbinski adaptation of Ring You with Naomi Watts. And this has been a favorite horror film of mine since pretty much the first moment I saw it. It was just an absolutely terrific film. It's still an absolutely terrific film. It's probably it's I would almost say it's the top shelf of what American horror is capable of that we've seen in the past 15, 20 years. Other than The Conjuring, I don't know if anything else, and maybe Sam Raimi's Drag Me to Hell, but honestly, like, The Ring just feels a step above all of those, and I really felt like improved on Ring U, which not all remakes do. So that's it's already in rarefied air there. Number three, and my longtime number two, was Sam Raimi's Evil Dead 2, which is basically a remake of the original Evil Dead, but from a very comedic standpoint, very dark humor standpoint, and it's the reason that I absolutely love it. How I just love how whacked out the sense of humor in Evil Dead 2 is. I actually did see the original Evil Dead this year as part of my movie week collection for the month of October. And I always forget how good that one is because the second one is so much more in my mind and it's very obviously a classic, whereas the first one is more of a straight horror and it's a really good movie, but I always forget how good it is. And Bruce Campbell is just absolutely the man when it comes to the character of Ash, especially in Evil Dead 2, which set up Army of Darkness. So that brings us to the number one, and as pretty much everybody who reads Sonic Cinema and knows me knows, my number one horror film of all time is Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. It is a masterpiece in every sense of the word. I know Stephen King fans of the book, have many complaints, many perfectly reasonable complaints when it comes to what Kubrick did to the film, but to the book. But the fact of the matter is, it's a truly singular work of horror cinema, and there's nothing quite like it. I would argue that The Shining was probably responsible for the evolution of supernatural horror because of the way that really seems to influence Japanese horror, at least what I've seen when it comes to the Ju-on and Ringu and what have you. And there's no way like Jack Nicholson as Jack Torrance. Yes, he's going to go off the rails, but you know it's going to be entertaining as hell when he does it. And Stanley Kubrick's artistry is just beyond reproach. His use of music, his use of sound, his use of images, and his use of spatial cinematography is absolutely unlike anything else that even he ever did in that movie. And it's something that I always watch that on Halloween. I always try to save The Shining for Halloween. It's easier some months than it is others, but I always try to save Shining for Halloween. It's painful, but is absolutely worth it because I know I'm getting an absolutely amazing film. And the surprising thing is, as intense as it is, there's only one on-screen death in that entire film. And that is astonishing that Stanley Kubrick could make a horror movie, be completely uncompromising when it comes to tone, when it comes to atmosphere, and yet there is only one on-screen death, and it's Dick Halloran's. And it's just the way his camera moves in that film, not just the use of the Steadicam, but just in general, just the way he creates a vast, haunting, arguably the most haunting atmosphere in any horror movie ever in that film is absolutely amazing. And so that's my top 10 right there. Those are my top 10 films. Friday 13th, Part 1 and 2 at 10. The Ring at number 9, The Conjuring at number 8, Psycho at number 7, Horror of Dracula at number 6, Nosferatu at number 5, The Mask of the Red Death at 4, Evil Dead 2 at 3, Cat People at 2, and The Shining at number 1. A very diverse group. We'll be back, and we'll wrap it up. We'll talk about some of the older films that I talked about, as well as some of my favorites when we return after this this piece of mine. Thank you very much for joining us, for keeping up with us. And that piece was entitled Darkness. It was written in 2006, October of 2006. And that, as well as Otherworldly March and two other pieces that I've written over the years in October, are part of my album from 2013, Storytelling, which is now available online at iTunes as well as other places. And all of my pieces, I am looking to compile all my pieces for an album called The Cold Wind of Horror, which will probably not be released until next October. So hopefully look up that next October. It'll be The Cold Wind of Horror, and it'll basically have all of the pieces I've written over October's over the past 14 and possibly 15 years, if there are any more. So gonna wrap this up for a little bit, and gonna wrap this up now, and just go through some of the other films that I watched over the past month or so. Starting with a short film I had the chance to watch a few years ago. It's an absolutely wonderful short horror film. It's called Familiar, and it's about a husband and father who, we get his internal monologue, and we can tell he's not happy in his life. And he tolerates his wife and his daughter, but you feel like there's something not quite right about him. And it's only throughout the rest of the 23 minutes that we really find out what exactly is going on with him. It's called Familiar. I know it's available on iTunes. It's also probably available elsewhere, but it's really good. The guys who made it, Fatal Pictures, had another short that they just released earlier this year. It's called Air. It's also very good. I think I still prefer Familiar more, but both of them are quite good. And I hope to have some a written interview with some of the people of Fatal Pictures in the next couple months. So hopefully, so be on the lookout for that, and you'll get to hear from some of the filmmakers between for Familiar and Air. Next up was The Blair Witch Project, which I really wanted to watch because the reboot came out in September. I really enjoyed the reboot. I thought it was a worthy successor to the original Blair Witch Project, and even though it's easy to crap on the original Blair Witch Project because there's a lot that can be made fun of with that, but the fact of the matter is, it's still a really effective, scary movie. And that was one of my favorite experiences watching that for the first time. It was the Monday after it opened limited release, so it hadn't quite become the juggernaut that it became. But the theater was packed, and I sat five rows from the front watching The Blair Witch Project, and it was just, I really loved it. It's one of my favorite movie-going experiences. Next up is the silent film Haxen, about witchcraft through the ages. It's a Danish silent film, and it's a weird fusion of documentary and horror that is really, it's impossible to forget the more you've seen it. In a way, there's a part of me that prefers it over Nosferatu because of the juxtaposition between genres in terms of documentary versus horror. But at the same time, I mean, Nosferatu is easily one of the most striking pieces of horror films, but Haxen is definitely up there. That's one of those films I saw for the first time. It might have been that first year in 2003 that I did this, and it was quite entertaining and quite interesting. Next up is William Friedkin's The Exorcist. There's not much to say beyond that. It's one of the granddaddies of possession thrillers, along with Rosemary's Baby, and it still holds up astonishingly well today. Next up was Scott Derrickson's Sinister, which has a particular place in my heart because my wife Meredith and I actually watched it a couple weeks after it came out in 2012, and what basically became our first date. Or we weren't officially dating at the time, but that was just us getting together, and it basically led us down the path to where now we are now married. So Sinister, although it's also a really good film. It's one of my it's probably one of my favorite Blumhouse productions of late. Sinister, the sequel not so much, but definitely the original. Next up was Bubba Hotep with Bruce Campbell as the aging king in the retirement home, and it's just such a fun, quirky horror film. I cannot say enough about how much I enjoy it. Next up is Stephen King's It, which is getting remade for cinemas this year, for next year. And I always really like the TV movie. It's a well-done story. Yes, it's still very much a mini TV miniseries in a lot of ways, but it's a really effective horror story and character-driven story as well. And I can only hope they do it justice. Next up is The Grudge, another Japanese horror remake. This one with Sarah Michelle Gellar. I've always really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it in theaters, and I still enjoy watching it. It's not just because it's another example of Sarah Michelle Gellar kicking butt in horror films. It's just like The Ring. It really captures the essence of what Japanese horror does, but it doesn't, while being respectful of it and not quite Americanizing it to the extent that we see in something like The Forest. Next up is Creepshow, the George Romero Stephen King anthology, which has always been one of my favorite things to watch. Next after that is the silent film Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, which is with Haxan and Nosferatu, the third of that triumvirate of great horror silent films. And then Drew Goddard's Cabin in the Woods, which was done as a response to the rise of torture porn, and just basically is one of the most fun examples of horror and humor coming together that I've ever seen, which is a credit to the way Drew Goddard and Joss Whedon came up with that story. The Conjuring 2, I mentioned earlier when I talked about The Conjuring. Another one that I watched this year was Dark Exorcism, better known for me as In the Dark. You'll recall last month I talked to David Spaltrow, the writer-director of the film. It's a film that I had gotten a chance to review. It's been available for the past month or so. And if you haven't watched it yet, I highly recommend it. It's a really great possession thriller, and watching it again this month really brought that home to me. Next up is Peter Jackson's The Frighteners, which I hadn't seen the director's cut yet, which is amazing because I've had for a few years, and I've loved The Frighteners since I saw it 20 years ago, but I never seen the director's cut. It's good. But it's just a fun movie. It's just a really great movie. And so The Frighteners, I definitely made a point of seeing. Next was the next two are movies from Val Lewton's productions. The first one is Curse of the Cat People, which is the sequel to Cat People. It's an interesting continuation of the story in a melodramatic / supernatural way that you would expect of 40s follow-up to be. It's not quite as good as the original Cat People, but it's actually pretty entertaining to watch. And then for my movie week, one of my movie weeks this year was Isle of the Dead with Boris Karloff. And it's a good supernatural story. It's about people trapped on an island with forces that they don't quite understand. And a general played by Karloff who's going mad with power. And it's a good movie. It's an entertaining movie. I really enjoy that Val Lewton productions. That are some of my favorite movies to watch. I try to get at least two or three in over the years and every month in addition to Cat People. And so Isle of the Dead was one of the ones that I watched last year. Next up was another Stephen King anthology from the 80s, Cat's Eye, with James Woods and Drew Barrymore, which is always fun. It was on Netflix. Next up after that was Ingmar Bergman's Hour of the Wolf, which is very gothic, it's very horror, and it really... One of the things I like about horror, one of the things that has really resonated with me over the years about horror, is as a way of confronting fears and anxieties that we don't necessarily understand. And Bergman's film does that quite well. And so... And it's something that's been very personal for me over the years to watch, and for that very reason, and one of the pieces that you'll find on storytelling is actually called The Hour of the Wolf, and it was inspired by the film. It's a very interesting musical take on it. You can listen to it on the storytelling album. Next up, I actually watched this after Evil Dead 2. It's another 80s horror sequel. It's Friday 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives, which is... I can't remember which one was I... It's a very 80s movie. Shocker was the other one that I felt like was a very 80s movie. Jason Lives is completely 80s, and... really cheesy, but it's also really entertaining, and it's so ridiculous to watch, but it's just fun to watch. And then next was Adam Wingert's You're Next, which is more of a thriller, but is also a pretty scary movie about a family under siege, a wealthy family under siege, and somebody I knew from high school and was in band with, A.J. Bowen, is one of the co-stars of it. And he's done several films over the years that I've watched and own. A Horrible Way to Die is one. The Signal is the other one. I didn't get to The Signal this year, unfortunately. Maybe I'll get to that next year. But Your Next is a really good one to get into. And then like I mentioned earlier, The Witch was one of the movies I watched today in addition to The Shining. And that is probably the best horror feature I've seen this year. It looks at religion and faith and the ways that was such a powerful force in the 17th century and the way people literally believed in witchcraft and demonic possession, and the way faith was intended to shield them from that. It's one of the more fascinating horror films of the past few years, and it's really just... It's really just a movie that you really should experience, and I really recommend it. So that's it. I didn't quite get into the genre as much as I would like, but I wanted to at least share sort of what I what I had watched in the past month or so. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed listening to the pieces that I had to offer as well. And thank you very much. And we've got some more. We've got some more filmmaker interviews I want to do before the end of the year, in addition to a year-end summary, which should be relatively full because of the fact that I'm actually up to about 80 some odd movies I've seen so far this year. I'm catching up relatively well, but. So that's about it for me right now, and thank you very much for listening at www.sonic-cinema.com. This is Brian Scuttle, and until next time, thank you very much. Bye.